As we continue our study through the Psalms, tonight looking to Psalm 61. Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. The title that I have given our study this evening is Where to Turn When Your Heart Feels Overwhelmed. Where to turn when your heart feels overwhelmed. And you will notice there at the beginning of verse 2 that this psalm, like most of the psalms, begins by highlighting the disheartening feelings of David, which is our first point of consideration as we examine the 8 verses before us. In verse number 2, we begin by taking careful notice of David's condition. David says, verse 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, speaking of God. From the end of the earth will I cry unto God. Now, while we are not specifically told what circumstances prompted David to write this particular psalm, many commentators seem to think that perhaps David wrote these words after David became king, and perhaps during the time in which he was fleeing from his son Absalom, who was plotting to take away his throne. While we cannot say for sure what was causing David to feel the way he did in this particular instance, we do know from reading the events of David's life in the Psalms as well in 1 and 2 Samuel, that there were times in David's life where he was driven from the palace, driven away from the beloved city of Jerusalem, seeking refuge in the wilderness and the various caves outside of the city of Jerusalem, outside of the city of worship where the temple was. So whether David is speaking literally or figuratively, it really makes no difference, because the focus of verse 2 is not on his specific geographical location, but on the distressing feelings that are flooding his soul, and then also how he responds to those distressing feelings flooding his soul. So whether he is actually in a physical place that looks and feels like the end of the earth, literally or not, emotionally, in a metaphorical sense, David feels spiritually distant from the Lord. And throughout the Psalms, we find David figuratively speaking of this, talking about being in that place that is dry, a place that is a dry land. So in a very real sense, David was overwhelmed, overcome by the dark, ugly feeling of despair. And we know this to be true because of what he says immediately after in the first part of verse 2. Having articulated that he feels the need to cry out to God from the end of the earth, David then declares that his heart is overwhelmed. And the Hebrew word translated to the English word for overwhelmed is the word faint. David feels faint. He feels weak, not just physically, but spiritually. He feels as if he cannot deal with any more trials and troubles. You know this feeling. It's that feeling of intense emotion that floods over your heart, your mind, your soul, and makes you feel as if you cannot take any more. It's that deep sigh of anxiety that someone has that leads to an exasperating groan as you're being bombarded with stress, worry, fear, constant demands, little sleep, which produces mental, emotional, and physical exhaustion. It's that feeling you get when you feel irritable and impatient. It's the moment when you put your hands on your head and you ask yourself the question, what am I going to do now? Have you ever been there? Perhaps you're there tonight. Well, this is where David is. This is what David is dealing with. This is David's condition, which is our first point of our consideration in this psalm. David feels overwhelmed. He feels distant from the Lord. He is physically and spiritually faint. And in our second point of consideration, I want you to notice David's cry. David's cry. So in the midst of David's stressful condition, David cries out to the Lord. David begins the psalm by praying, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer." And then continuing on, verse 2, David says, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed." So in verses 1 and 2, I want you to recognize once again the connectedness between crying and praying. And when I say crying, I do not necessarily mean the shedding of physical tears, but the passionate calling out for God's attention. David says, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer." So let's pause and see once again from the scriptures what true prayer really is. What is prayer? Well, if you will trace the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, from beginning to end, you will find that true biblical prayer is the crying out of the heart to God. True prayer is the pouring of the soul to the Almighty. And I've mentioned it before, I'll mention it here again, that true prayer, according to the Bible, is not, I repeat, is not the long, repetitive articulation of heartless words. True prayer is not the long, repetitive articulation of heartless words. In fact, Jesus taught his followers that this is how hypocrites pray. This is how those who do not know God pray, or at least think they know how to pray. Those who do not know God think that prayer is the eloquence of words. Those who do not have a real, genuine relationship with God are persuaded that it's the length of their prayers that God is impressed with. They think, Jesus says, that they shall be heard from God for their much speaking. The focus is on their speaking, it's on their speech, on their verbal communication. But the Bible tells us, on the other hand, that those who have the Spirit of God dwelling in them, those who have been born again, those who have a relationship with Christ, will naturally cry out to God as Father. Remember, Paul says in Romans, those who have the Spirit of God, those who've been adopted into the kingdom, those who are sons will cry out, Abba, Father. This is prayer. Prayer is the crying out to our Heavenly Father. The Lord's Prayer, our Father, which is in heaven, which denotes then a relationship with the Father, an intimacy with the Father. Jesus teaches us that prayer for the believer is not about what we say and how we say it, but about where we stand with God and how desperate we are for His help. It's possible to pray without praying. Are you listening? It's possible to pray with your mouth and not pray from your heart. True prayer is not a shopping list that we throw at God. True prayer is not a factual news report about the things going on in life. True prayer is the crying out to God for God. And as we prepare for our prayer meeting tonight, may that be at the forefront of our mind. True prayer is the crying out to God for what? For God. Do you see that in the psalm? In the midst of his despondent dilemmas, David cries out to God for God. He cries out to God for God's help, for God's guidance, for God's protection, for God's provision, for God's strength. David is at the end of his rope, so to speak. He's at the end of himself. He knows that he cannot continue without divine assistance. So what does he do? He casts his cares, his anxieties, his fears on the Lord, knowing that the Lord cares for him. You see prayer in that too? Casting all your cares upon the Lord, knowing that he cares for you. Cast thy burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Now notice the specific prayer that David prays in verse 2. So we see the heart of his prayer. We see his heart. And the heart of all prayer is the heart. But notice the specific prayer that he prays to the Lord in verse 2. In verse 2, David says, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." This is a wonderful, humble, God-centered prayer that has so many gospel features to it. Look at it with me again, beginning with the first two words. David begins by saying, "Lead me." This is a prayer of dependence. This is a prayer of submission. This is a prayer of personal lostness. It's a prayer of personal inability. Left to himself, David doesn't know where to go. He needs someone to guide him. He needs someone to go in front of him and show him the way in which to walk. Left to his own wisdom, left to his own power, he's going to continue feeling as he is feeling. He is going to be overwhelmed and without hope. So he begins by asking God to lead him, and specifically to lead him not to a rock singular, or to a rock in general, but to the rock, which speaks of David needing God to lead him to a place of stability and security. David prays to God for God to lead him to that place that will be a sufficient shelter. And a sufficient shelter not just for his body, but for his soul. We're not just talking physically here, but spiritually. Though David was hunted by physical enemies, what is going on in his heart and in his soul is spiritual in nature. So his prayer is not primarily physical in nature, but spiritual in nature. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to that place that is above myself, above my wisdom, and above my ability. That's his prayer of guidance. That's his humble reliance on God. Now, let's not forget also that David used to be a prudent shepherd who became a trained warrior. David was a man familiar with journeying through all kinds of terrain. So we could stand back and say, well, this was a man with the skill set to deal with anything. I mean, from a sling to a sword, from a shepherd boy with great faith to being a king with great faith, David can handle anything. Not so. David, seeing himself as he is, knows his own weakness. And so he comes before the Lord, asking the Lord to lead him to the rock that is higher than him. Do you see the analogy? We sing about it often. The Lord's our rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms may round us be, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. O rock divine, O refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. And then the chorus, you know it. O Jesus is a what? Is a rock in a weary land. A weary land, a weary land. O Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Or how about this song? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Or, rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. So what David is saying here, of the rock that is higher than him, has a prophetic, messianic reference to Jesus Christ, who is depicted in Scripture as a rock. What David describes in his prayer is a prayer of salvation. And listen, in order to be spiritually saved, in order to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you must come to know your desperate need for God to lead you and guide you in the truth. You must come to acknowledge that if left alone in your sin, you will be eternally ruined. The way of salvation is God causing you to know your spiritual lostness and your helpless condition, which then leads you to cry out to God to help you and bring you to Himself. And this is what David alluded to back in Psalm 40. Back in Psalm 40, David says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me. He heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. So perhaps you're here this evening still without hope. Still without God, overwhelmed by your sin, fearful of death, anxiously wondering if there can be peace found in this life. I'm here to tell you that the only sufficient rock, the only sufficient refuge for our soul is Jesus Christ. Jesus says, if you believe on me, if you trust in me with the keeping of your soul, if you will receive my gift of grace, when the storms of life come and when death itself comes, He will preserve your soul. And those of you who have experienced God's saving grace know exactly what I'm talking about. God brought you to the end of yourself so that you would cry out to the rock that is higher than you. You had to be humbled so that you might know His grace. God has to sometimes throw us off our own rocks that are only built on sinking sands to show us our need for the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Psalm 61, we see David's condition. We see David's cry. And then we see David's consideration. As he turns his attention from his circumstances to Christ, his rock, as he turns from his focus on earth to heaven, beginning in verse 3, David begins calling to mind how God has been his help in time past. Verse 3, David says, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Now see the connectedness here between past and present, contemplating on what God has done for him in the past, providing shelter, providing a tower from the enemies. This encourages David to trust in God in the present hour, which then provides a needed motivation to believe in God's future provisions. And this then leads us to the fourth and final point, which is David's commitment. This is emphasized verses 4 and 8. Verse 4, I will. There's that resolve again. There's that commitment. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Verse 8, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. In other words, because God has been faithful to David in days past, David rests in the fact that God will be faithful in the future. Because God has provided for him abundantly yesterday, he knows God will provide for him in tomorrow. And because God has and will provide for his needs, David is determined to faithfully worship God despite what is going on in life. And so here we have once again another psalm, another song that starts with great problems, great difficulties, that ends in great praise to the Lord. David began the psalm feeling overwhelmed and faint. David ends the psalm honoring the character of God and newly committed to living in accordance to God's will. So sometimes in life we have days and weeks like that. The day starts off troubling, overwhelmed with fear, overwhelmed with anxiety regarding what the day may bring forth. We rest in God's preserving grace. God brings us to Himself spiritually by His strength. We make it through the end of the day, and at the end of the day, we give forth thanks to God for seeing us through again. Or perhaps the week. A new week comes around and you're troubled about the appointment coming up. You're fearful about what the doctor might say. You don't know how things are going to work out financially. But you turn to the Lord in your troubles. You ask Him to lead you to the rock, the shepherd that is higher than you. And as you are led to the shepherd, as your faith increases, the end of the week ends in joy. Looking back and saying to yourself, why did I even doubt it all? Why did I even question God's provisions? This is the up and down of the Christian life. And this is really the mercy of God that holds us in His hands. If left to ourselves, where would we be? So having examined the psalm, let me ask you this evening, have you come into this place mentally, physically, spiritually faint or overwhelmed? Do you feel spiritually distant from the Lord tonight? Do you feel cut off from the blessing of God? Do you feel that left to yourself, the circumstances of life might just swallow you up? If so, what you need to do is pray. You need to cry out to the Lord for help. And in your prayer, you need to ask God to lead you to the rock that is higher than you. Remember, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. You can't do it. But remember, Paul says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's the prayer of strength. That's the prayer of hope. Lead me to the rock. Lead me to Christ. Lead me to that strength that is higher than me. You need to ask God to show you your personal weakness in Christ's sufficient strength. And if for whatever reason you are not in a storm, if for whatever reason your heart is not overwhelmed tonight, my suggestion for you would be to keep these words at the forefront of your mind so that when you are feeling a million miles away from God, when you feel like you are at the end of the earth, at the end of your rope, you will remember that God and God alone is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in our time of trouble. Where can we turn when our heart feels overwhelmed? David teaches us here, we turn to Christ, our rock and our refuge. Turn to Him. Trust in Him.